הנפתולי שליט.
Right, we are on Yud Aleph Tammuz today, which is Erev Yud Beis Tammuz. And I thought that I would say a little bit about this. Now, the Nekuda, which makes the 12th of Tammuz a significant date in the Lubavitch calendar, and Lubavitch likes to see it as significant for everyone, is that in 1927, Tov Resh Pei Zayin, on the 15th of Sivan, the Friediger Rebbe, Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak, the Rayatz, had been arrested, and then he was released on the 12th of Tammuz. So let's try to understand what all that is about and why it should concern anyone today. But there are many Gedolei Yisrael who went through many...
Connected to the
Pasha
as well?
We'll see. There are many Gedolei Yisrael, and they've been through many, many dramatic things over the past century. So let's try to understand what is happening here. We have the idea that there was the Bolshevik Revolution. There was the whole process of communism in Russia, and then the Bolshevik Revolution. And among the Bolsheviks, among the communists, there was a group called the Yevsektsiya. And the Yevsektsiya, they are a Jewish group. They came originally from the Bund. The Bund was a group of Jewish socialists. And then they merged with the Communist Party, with the Bolshevik Party, and they became a virulent group. Their goal, their official goal, was to bring communism to the Jewish masses. But in fact, their main goal was Hoyoloisiya, the destruction of Yiddishkeit. They closed Bate Medrash, they did everything they could, and yeshivas... They were supposed to bring communism to the Jewish masses. They were supposed to bring the, you know, kaviyachol, the ideal of communism to the Jewish masses. They should understand it. But in fact, what it turned into, because communism has an atheistic aspect to it, so they took that very seriously, and they were determined to destroy Yiddishkeit. Rachmana litzlam. And most Torah leaders saw the destruction that was happening, and they left. They did their best to get out of Russia. The Chofetz Chaim left. It's said, I don't know how, with what nemonis, the Chofetz Chaim later said to someone that he regretted, he thought maybe he should have stayed. It would have been very difficult, but there was an enormous amount to do. But anyway, most people left. So now we have the Rayatz himself, Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak. He was born in Tov Resh Mem, 1880. There's a famous story of him as a little boy. He was the son of the Rebbe Rashab. And he made as a small boy, he made a loan fund. He made a Gemilat Chasodim fund. A gemach, he would go into the marketplace and see if someone needed to borrow some money in order to stock their wagon, whatever it is, with their wares. And one day when he was there, he saw a policeman attacking a Jew, beating a Jew, and he began hitting the policeman, this little boy. He began hitting the policeman, and the policeman schlepped him off and put him in jail. And he was sitting in a dark room in the jail, and he began saying Mishnayis Baal Peh. What did he do sitting in the dark room? He began saying Mishnayis Baal Peh, and suddenly a frightening noise. There was a kind of a grunting in the cell, and it turned out there was some animal was also in the same room. And later, he got out, they came from the Hof, it brought him home, and he thought to himself, if it weren't for the fact that I was saying Mishnayis, what difference would there have been? Me and the behemoth, we were both trapped in this cell. Baruch Hashem, I was saying Mishnayis. Anyway, that's just a picture of him as a little boy. When he was 17, he got married, And at that time also, his father began the Toim Chet Mimim Yeshiva. Now the Toim Chet Mimim Yeshiva was very special because it was a yeshiva where the study of Chassidus, Pnimius HaTorah, was part of the curriculum. Ramchal, 150 years earlier, had tried to make a yeshiva where they studied Kabbalah, and the Beis Din had told him to stop, otherwise they would close down the yeshiva. However, in the atmosphere of Russia at that time, this was 1897, where it was seen that there was a tremendous threat to Yiddishkeit from the Haskalah, from socialism, from secular Zionism, all kinds of things. So, as a result, no one complained at the setting up of this yeshiva, and it was the yeshiva which created Tamimim. The name of the yeshiva was, and is to this day, Toimche Tamimim, and the alumnus, someone who's been to the yeshiva, is called the Tomim. And the Tomim is someone who is supposed to be Toichoi Kabori. He learns Pnimis HaTorah, so it's not just that he learns, it's supposed to go into him. People davened ba'avodah with great intensity, that generation, an amazing generation. So now we have his own father, the Rebbe Rashab, passed away in 1920, and now comes and he is now the sixth Lubavitcher Rebbe, and there is this situation of the Bolshevik Revolution, the Yevsektsiya, and the destruction of Yiddishkeit all over Russia. So there is a letter from the Rayats where he describes as follows. He got a big map of Russia and he called together his leading followers who were there. I think at this point he was in Leningrad. He called together his leading followers and he said, I want to divide this map into 10 parts and I want a minion of Hasidim. Each one will take responsibility for 1/10 of Russia. Now in the letter which I saw, he writes, Kamuvon, as you understood, that I don't remember. Kamuvon, as is understood, Ben Tzion Hoya Harishim. The first one to step forward was Ben Tzion Shem Tov. Ben Tzion Shem Tov, later on, we had the schus that he started Chabad Lubavitch here in London, but he was the first one to step forward. And I often heard stories that he told about the part of Russia where he ran 70 secret chadorim. So that was the whole thing. That technically, you were allowed to learn Torah and do things, but you couldn't teach Torah. There couldn't be any broader expression of Torah. Also, whatever the law by the government, the Yevsektsiya took it further. The Yevsektsiya went beyond the law to try to destroy Yiddishkeit. But according to the law as well, you couldn't teach children. So the main thing is the next generation. And so the Chadorim, the network of secret Chadorim all over Russia, and I've heard people who went to those Chadorim, they described how they would have to go a different way to school every day because otherwise the neighbors would see that there's always this boy is going here. Where's he going? He must be going somewhere. And where would they have the Chadorim? So one place was described. There was a Sheikhet. He was the Melamed. But he was in a barn with some chickens and maybe a calf. And he had his Chalaf there. And that's where he's teaching the children. But if any stranger comes along, they hide any svarim, and he picks up the chalaf, and it just looks like a little group of children watching the shoychet shechts and chickens. So that was the kind of atmosphere. But the problem is that they were catching these melamdim, arresting them, and sending them to Siberia, sometimes putting them to death. It's terrible things. And the grief for the Friedrich Rebbe, for the Rayats, that another Chosid has been caught. But what should he do? Should he not send another one into that situation? And so there were all the time. There were people coming with Mesiris Nefesh Mamash. And then the government began putting it all, and the Efsexia, they put it all together. It's all coming from this Shnis, and they're from the Rayatz himself. And finally they arrested him. And at first they condemned him to death, and then that was commuted to sending him to Golos in Kastroma, in Siberia.
Was it cold there in Siberia? No. Tashkent, these places are not cold.
Tashkent's in the south. Tashkent's hot, but Siberia is in the north.
Why is it considered Siberia the south?
Siberia is not the south.
When people ran away during the war.
That's where they ran. That was Tashkent. That was a different thing. Yeah, yeah. It's southern Russia. Siberia is north, yeah. So he was there in Kastroma, and he comes along to the office to report on the 12th of Tammuz. They say, oh, actually, you're free. we've just got the papers that you are free, but all the offices are closed, so we won't be able to fix it till tomorrow. So the next day, Yud Gimel Tammuz, he got all the papers, he was free, and Baruch Hashem, he was free at that point. Now, so what does that actually mean? What's the significance of this? Now, there's a letter, and this is where we're also going to get the connection with the center. That's you see, there's a letter that he wrote a year later. Now free, on the 15th of Sivan, Tofresh Peches, 1928. And he says, everyone knows, and it's clear that this arrest and the Golus came because of the people who were attacking Shomrei Das Moshe Yisrael, people who were attacking Yiddishkeit. That is why I was arrested. And these people couldn't bear to see the spreading of Shoshanas Yaakov through the fact that there was Torah being learned all over the country. And so therefore they tried to get rid of me. But by the Chasdei Hashem, that there's the Schus Ovos HaKadoshim, they weren't able to do this. And this is a victory. This is a geula. Loi oisi bilvad goal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not only me did Hashem save, but Yud Beis Tammuz, on the day of Yud Beis Tammuz. Ki im gam es kol mechabavei Torasenu HaKadoshim. Everyone who loves our holy Torah. Shomrei mitzvah, everyone who keeps mitzvahs. V'gam es asher b'shem Yisrael yochune. And also anyone who's just called a Yid. Kichol ish mi Yisrael, because every single Jew, mipli hischashev im matzova haprati, not considering his particular situation, bishmiris v'kiyum ha-mitzvahs, in keeping mitzvahs, nonetheless, levovoi tomim im Hashem b'soidoso. His heart is pure and devoted to Hashem and his Torah. So in other words, even though there was this terrible attack on Torah mitzvahs, and he fought against it, but the fact that he won that battle, he saw as something min ha-shamayim, that the tide is being turned. The tide of crushing Torah and mitzvahs is being turned. That Torah mitzvahs are going to break through. Now, in order to see the force of this, we have to look a little bit further back. We have to look back to the beginning of the Haskalah, when there began to be a force against Torah, mitzvahs, in an emistiger way. Everything was being favased, was being transformed, and in fagoyished. It was a terrible transformation that was taking place, and people were trying to stand up against it, and this was a crushing tide of terrible power that was there. And then in the whole of the USSR, there you are, the ultimate form, if you like, the beginning of the Goyish Enlightenment in the 17th century. in the generation of the, in the time of the Baal Shem Tov, the beginning of the Goyish Enlightenment led to the French Revolution. But as it spread, as the Enlightenment spread and the whole Enlightenment values, so a particular derech that it took through Marx and communism led to the Russian Revolution, which they thought would be a world revolution. It would take over the whole world, it would crush everyone. So this concept that in despite the negative force that this is transformed, that suddenly there's Goyin Yaakov, there's the pride of Yiddishkeit, and people are able to learn Torah, and the Rayatz was released, and there was a freedom, Pod of Shalom Nafshi, that is a tremendous force. Just like in the Sedra, we have with Balak that he's trying to curse the Yidden, and the curse is turned into a bracha. What Sedra is it? I saw letters from the Rebbeim, Parshas Matoivo Alecha Yaakov, referring to this week's Parsha. What is the Parsha? V'nafoichu. Instead of something negative, it becomes something positive. So this is the power to stand up against these secular pressures. Now, secular pressures have different varieties. There we have a pressure where it was with guns and with Siberia and with work camps and torture and terrible things. And Mesiras Nefesh, in the traditional kind of Mesiras Nefesh, Al Kiddush Hashem, was needed. Then, what happened next with the Friedrich Rebbe? First of all, he went to Poland for 10 years. Approximately 1930 till 1940, there the yeshiva, the Lubavitch yeshiva, regrouped in Otwock and was a really a beautiful yeshiva. Many people from Polish Hasidic groups came along they became Hasidim, they became Chabad Hasidim. There people would daven ba'avoda, the whole, and the Rebbe would say the most amazing ma'amorim, and for a bocha, to hear the Maimah, he would have to be able to be a Choyza. He would have to be able, hearing the Maimah, which would take 30 minutes, 20 minutes, he would have to then be able to say the whole Maimah Baal Peh. And if he couldn't do that, he wouldn't, next week, the Ma'amorim were Friday night. If he couldn't do that next week, he wouldn't be able to be in the group hearing the Maimah. So that was what it took to be a Bocha hearing a Maimah. It was a very a strict regime, and amazing people came from it. And then Baruch Hashem,
the Chayzer only heard the Maimer, and the Bocha who he learned didn't hear the Maimer.
No, that's right. The Chayzer heard, the Chayzer was a Bocha.
He then
learned not just with one Bocha, he would then teach a whole group of people. Each of the Chayzerim who heard the Maimer would then go to a particular place, have a whole group of people, and they would say it over.
Bocha himself didn't hear the
Maimah. No, that's right. That was with the Rayatz, was in Poland, but in America that changed, and our Rebbe, everyone could hear the Maimah.
Yes,
that's when it was in a weekday, but even not in a weekday, there were Weiber behind the in the Weibershul could also hear the Maimah. So that's how it was with the Rayatz. This very strict atmosphere. And then he came with a miracle, also coming out of Europe. He came to America, and he came to America. He was weak. He had been from the arrest in Tofrech Pezain in 1927. He was crippled. They'd thrown him down the stairs. So the Hasidim welcomed him in America. They said, "Now, Rebbe, you'll be able to relax." He said, "What do you mean, relax? we've got to bring Torah to America." Amen. Rebbe, America is a different kind of place. Nein, America is nit anders. America is not different. That became the slogan, that America is no different. There has to be proper Yiddishkeit in America.
Back, then he went back, he said, "I can't stay." When he came in 1929.
In 1929 he came to America. That he went in 1929, before the 10 years in Poland, the Rayatz came to America, and he went to America. He also went to Eretz Yisrael. He went to America, and he went round different places in America. He had already set up Agudas Hasidei Chabad of America. Now the word Chabad is very interesting. Why not Lubavitch? You see, the sons of the Tzemach Tzedek, the Tzemach Tzedek was the third Lubavitch Rebbe, but the sons of the Tzemach Tzedek, each one of them became a Rebbe of a different kind. So many of the grandchildren of those Hasidim had now gone to America. So the Rayats wanted to group them all together. Whatever kind of connection, whether Kopus, this, that, of Roch, that they some kind of connection with Chabad, he made the Agudas Hasidic Chabad of America. And so that he set up in 1921. And then 21. When he... 21. Just
he
when
he...
Be,
29.
No, no, he no, set he it up when he became Rebbe. When he became Rebbe in 1920, one of the first things he did was to set up Agudas Hasidic Chabad of America.
Without going.
Writing to his Hasidic.
He did.
And then in 1929, he went to America. He was in Chicago. He said a very remarkable mamorim there called Biko Chicago. And so he went to see all the different places where there were Chabad groups. And strengthened them with Mechazik then, then he went to Eretz Yisrael, and then he was in Riga, and then finally went to Poland, and then he came back to America. And so with his slogan, America is Nitamnes. Now, we then come after the Shoah, he passed away in 1950, and we then have the time of the 7th Lubavitcher Rebbe, our Rebbe. So now, the same quality of Mesiris Nefesh. You see, that's the thing with the Rayats, this setting of Mesiris Nefesh as the highest pedestal. The highest thing in Yiddishkeit is Mesiris Nefesh. That's really the Etzem HaNefesh. When the Etzem HaNefesh is revealed, that's what it means, Mesiris Nefesh, that the person niterken or niter will sein Opgerissen von Yiddishkeit. He has to, at that point, he has to be completely dedicated to Yiddishkeit, whatever happened. So now, it's not confronting guns. It's comfort. It's the opposite kind of pressure. The pressure... that the against Yiddishkeit is a pressure of comfort and of this and of that, just simply washing away Yiddish values, Yiddish ideals, and so therefore in the luxury. It said about, there was a great chassid, Itchid the Masmid. Itchid the Masmid was here in England. Some people may have heard of him. So a very great chassid. So he went... Itchid the Masmid, his family name is Zeng. He was.
Yes, I saw him here in the Babich house.
You might
want to whole night with everything.
Could well be.
I remember with you together, remember you were there?
No,
the
I was
upstairs.
I was never Zeng Itchid the Masmid.
I was upstairs in the Babich. A few years, not so long ago. But
no, that's Nissen Nemenov, probably.
Ah, maybe.
Yeah, that's a different person. So Itchid the Masmid went to America. Like to make to Zay Ruchnius and Clyde Gashnius, he had to collect money to support the yeshivas in Eastern Europe, and he had to sow Ruchnius as well. So he wrote a letter home. Doez anot v'rachmona litzlan me'es flesh yedetog. Here's a place, rachmona litzlan, they eat meat every day. So the luxury was to him a disturbing quality. But that's the quality of the present, right? So that's the quality after the Shoah of the 20th century. Now we have the idea of sending Tmimim also as Shluchim with Mesiris Nefesh to plant Torah in challenging environments. And the challenging environments, it's different kinds of challenge. And so that is the atmosphere that Torah is able to survive whatever the situation, not only to survive, to conquer. Now that is the basic message of Yud Beis Tammuz. But there are a number of ma'amorim that the Rebbe Rayat said on the Yud Beis Tammuz, he said a ma'amor. On Yud Gimel Tammuz, he said more than one ma'amor. And then every year he would say ma'amorim. And the 7th Rebbe, our Rebbe, would say Ma'amorim beginning the same way, like discussions of those Ma'amorim. So one of the Dibur HaMasur, one of these Ma'amorim is Baruch HaGoyim L'Chayovim Toivois, that a person says when they come out of prison. So I'm quoting here from a particular version of this maimer that our Rebbe said in Toshin Mem Gimel in 1983. So we have the idea, Abod Tzrichin Lohoidos, four people have to give thanks, and we say Agoimel, Choylesh Nisrape, an ill person who got better, Hayoytze Mibes HaSurim, someone who comes out of prison, Yodei HaYom, those who go down into the sea, and Holche Midborios, those who go in the desert. So that's Choyle, Yoytze, Yode, Hayom, and Midborios, that's Hachayim. So, V'chol Hachayim, Yoydu Choselo. All life should praise you, Hashem, because you've saved them. So in the Rebbe's Maimer, he gives an explanation of each of these four things as it might apply to us. Well, of course, Cholosh Nisrape can be Kipshuto, that a person needs a Refu Shalema and gets better, Be'ezras Hashem. But there's also a spiritual dimension of Cholosh Nisrape. One needs to have a healthy Jewish heart. That's how. Humasha Odom Tzorich, Kedei, a person needs, Kedei Lemalois Tafkidoi, in order to fulfill his task in the world, he needs a healthy Jewish heart. Umoyach Yehudi Bari. He needs a healthy Yiddish kop, a healthy mind which understands things in the right way. Because Seichel can look at it this way and can look at it that way. You need to have a healthy Jewish Seichel that you look at the thing in the right way, which leads in the right direction. There was once a discussion by the Rebbe Rashab about the whole power of Seichel, and he was talking about the Rambam. The Rambam's ability to use Seichel. He said the Rambam put the Nakuda in the middle, he knew where he was going. And then with the Nakuda in the middle, he can draw the circle of Seichel all around, and he can wander around in the Seichel, but he knows where the Nakuda is. Whereas other people, they don't have a Nakuda. They just wander around the Seichel and there's no Nakuda whatsoever. So a person needs a gesunte Yiddish kop, a healthy Yiddish mind, and a healthy Yiddish heart as well. Now, and sometimes it might be a person might be ill, Rachman Litzlon. So a person has to try and make all the effort he can, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps him, and he becomes cholish and nisrapi, he gets well. The second thing is leaving prison. Yoytze mibeis hasurim. What's the avoid of a person? The trouble is, we have an internal prison. There's the Rosh HaMachteh HaTzadik, the Yetzer Hara trying to imprison the Yetzer Toiv. But even in prison, he knows, L'Hashem Ha'oretz HaMeloya, that Hashem fills the whole world, and he knows that Hashem is everywhere, even in the prison, and so he goes free. So now, he's trying to do these two things. He's fighting against the Yetzer Hara. He's got a good Yiddish heart, a good Yiddish kop. He's learning Torah. He's doing mitzvahs. He's doing all positive things. But the trouble is, he might be a yored b'yom. What is the yom? The yom is filled with waves and storms. It's the anxieties, the worries. Worries about panosa, worries about this, worries about that. And he's not able to do his avodah properly. It's as if he's at sea, being buffeted by the waves. And so therefore, Hashem helps him escape from this as well. And finally, there's the midbar. So what is the midbar? The midbar is he's in a place which is in the desert, as far as Ruchnius goes. And so there's no Torah, there's no mitzvahs. So what does he do? Well, the way it puts it in the Maimer, he goes out of the desert, and he comes to a place of freedom that's the Mokum Yishuv means a place, L'sheves Odom Shom, Odom Ha'elyon. Can the Odom Ha'elyon, Hashem, dwell in that place? So it's a place which you can't sow and you can't reap, and so therefore he does everything he's able to do, and he goes out of the desert. So, and he makes the Brocha HaGoymel. But going out of the desert, there are two ways of going out of the desert. One is that you're in a place which isn't a mokum of Torah mitzvahs, and so now you go out and you come to a place which is. But the thrust of the Rebbe was that place which isn't a mokum of Torah mitzvahs, you should make it into a place of Torah. So that place which looks like a desert at this moment, you should make it into a Makom Torah. So some of you may remember, hopefully, Dr. William Stern, from the Lubavitcher. That's right, William and Sophie Stern.
Yeah.
So Dr. William Stern, he used to travel. He used to travel in his younger years. He used to travel to Germany, and he would go and he would make meetings with people. He was an Echt Yekker, and so was his wife, and they would make meetings with the Jews in Germany and speak to them about Yiddishkeit and strengthen Yiddishkeit there. Now, Baruch Hashem, the shluchim in many different cities in Germany, so once he was in Yechidus with his wife, speaking to the Rebbe. And the Rebbe said, I want you to make Germany into a Makom Torah. He said, Rebbe, Deutschland ist eine Wüste. Germany is a desert. So the Rebbe said to him, the Torah was given in a desert. So that's the thing. Holchem Midbarios, we're in a people in a Midbar. So now they might deliberately go to the Midbar, like the thousands of shluchim around the world, in order to make that Midbar into a Makom Torah. So Yud Beis Tammuz empowers us to strengthen Yiddishkeit, help the world cease to be a desert, it should be a Makom Torah, with the coming of Mashiach Tzidkenu.
Amen. Amen. Shkoyach.